Living in America in 2015 is an Orwellian adventure. We are witnessing the attempted overthrow of America. That statement will no doubt elicit howls of disbelief and cries of conspiracy. However, the evidence is all around us, and it is overwhelming. From the phony wars on poverty, drugs, and terror, to the false flag events purposely orchestrated to distract and fashion public perception and opinion, America is under siege. Contrary to their stated purpose and historical value, the news media in America is a propaganda extension of their elitist owners. You want the truth? Can you handle the truth? Well, you're about to find out the answer to those questions. Stay tuned for my conversation with Stephanie Sledge of the Government Rag next on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Soaring Eagle Radio Show. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and appreciate it when you do if you'd leave a review and a rating. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, at Soaring Eagle Rad. And of course, you can listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. My guest today is Stephanie Sledge. She is an investigative journalist with the Government Rag. Stephanie, thank you for joining me on Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thank you, Mike, and I really appreciate you having me on today, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about what's going on in America and letting your listeners know about the truth.
Yes, and that's something that that you have made a career of. And for our listeners, I guess right off the bat, I want to point them, and maybe this is unusual. A lot of shows don't do this, but I have no problem plugging other shows. But I came across an interview that Stephanie did with John and Chris on Hoaxbusters afternoon commute. So if you check out Hoaxbusters, I forget what episode number it is, but you'll find an episode there with Stephanie, and that's how I found you, Stephanie. And I thought, this is a lady that is wide awake. She sees what's going on in America, and she is talking about it very clearly for anybody that has a sense of awareness could understand. And so I appreciate your work very much. Your site, the Government Rags, it's a great source for news, and I've checked it out several times since I ran across that interview. It's a source of news, really, that the corporate-owned media isn't reporting. Now, even saying that, Stephanie, that surprises some people, doesn't it, when they learn or they hear that the news media, they're not independent, they're actually corporate-owned.
Exactly, and thank you for your kind words. I definitely agree with you, and most of the media nowadays are, I mean, they're owned by the seven major corporations.
Yes.
And a lot of the news that we see is more entertainment, and
yes.
That's why, it's required actually to announce that it's entertainment. And so, anyway, I agree with you. The media, people, are watching the news, thinking that they're getting the news, but in reality, it really is just an entertainment platform.
Yeah, it's information that has been carefully reviewed and selected for general consumption. For our listeners, Stephanie, I wonder if you would give a brief background of what got you started down this road of investigative journalism, because that's not something that you're going to be encouraged to do in journalism school these days. This is a whole different genre of journalism. And then piggybacking on that, Stephanie, what encouraged you to get started in this field? What keeps you motivated? Because it can be kind of, I don't want to say depressing, but some of the things that you investigate and uncover and connect the dots to, it can cause some real concern. So what got you started in this?
It was my choice to start the government reg. And my whole life I've always been interested in writing, and I've been interested in telling the truth. And I've always been accused of that my whole life. You know, you just say what you want to, don't you? And I was always like, yes, I do, because, you know, I've just always had an investigative mind. And I've been able to see things even as an early, you know, just as far back as I can even remember being a child. I've always been able to, you know, just feel if it was true or not, whatever was approaching me, whatever was said to me. And so my whole life, I've always been interested in that. I've been a really good writer my whole life. And so, you know, basically those are the two components that put together my investigative journalism. As I grew older, you know, I began to see many things that were happening in America that no one at all, you know, could see. That, I mean, it was like maybe one in every 1,000 people that I talked to would know what I was talking about. And so I spent the majority of my life, you know, being isolated because of the fact that I was able to see a lot of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I grew up in a really good family where, you know, my grandfather was a truth teller. And so I was enlightened really at an early age to be, you know, looking out for what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've appeared on a number of different alternative news media shows. I'm wondering how difficult was it for you to gain that traction, that momentum, and become recognized as a legitimate source of research and analysis?
I would have to answer by saying that it really wasn't that difficult at all, in my opinion. And the reason why I feel like it wasn't that difficult was because, you know, there's a number of people right now, a number of researchers that are out there, and they're, you know, they're listening to various radio shows, and they're looking for the truth. I mean, they're trying to devour the truth, and they're trying to seek it, find it. And so, you know, like when I first appeared on some of the earlier alternative news media shows and was discussing my investigation into the Jeremy Lawler shooting, you know, I didn't know what to expect, what the response would be, you know, as far as the listeners was concerned. But I found out right away that, you know, really there's a lot of people that are very interested, that are questioning, you know, what they're actually hearing, seeing on TV, you know, listening to on their radios, reading on their computer screens. And so I found it quite interesting to me, because I was initially contacted by the listener, which was my goal. You know, I went on the platforms, the different alternative media platforms, and they gave me a variety of them have given me an outlet to tell, you know, my story of the research and evidence that I could put forth on the investigation that I did. But I was most interested in what, you know, the listener you know, hearing from the listeners and finding out who was actually, you know, looking into the same things and they were seeking the truth, or, you know, they would say, oh, I'm glad you felt that way because, you know, I felt that way too when I was watching the news over that. So it's been really enlightening for me. And so in my opinion, it wasn't difficult at all. I just opened my door and I used the platforms regardless of, you know, what was being said about them. Mm-hmm. And I just figured that I would open up the door to see if anybody else was listening.
Yeah, yeah. As I mentioned in the intro segment, the news media in the United States is a wholly owned subsidiary of big business. And I think you mentioned seven corporations own all of the major news outlets, and that should cause us a great deal of concern. The fact of the matter is, because of that, when you own the news outlets, you actually are able to fashion the story that's told any way that you want to. My question is, what I'm wondering is, why do most Americans not understand this very basic truth when they sit down and watch the evening news, and it doesn't matter what channel it is, they think they're actually receiving the truth, and the fact is they're not. It's been a very carefully crafted narrative. And why don't Americans understand this, generally speaking, Stephanie? Do you have any ideas about that?
Well, first of all, I'd like to make a correction. It's actually six mega medias, and I believe I said seven earlier, but it's actually six mega media corporations. And,
yeah, okay.
I recently wrote an article with a very good friend of mine, and he's also a contributing writer, Jack Mullen, and we just put out an article which your listeners can find on the front page of thegovernmentrag.com. And we actually go into the six mega media corporations and how tightly the industry is controlled. Mm. And we also talk about various things as far as mind control and the changing of American culture and various things. And so my answer to your question is basically, you know, it's very simple. The media is really scripted. And,
yes,
you know, they plan ahead to target their listeners and their readers and their writers and the people that are watching TV. And what they do is they plan in advance and they, you know, script the news and, you know, they try to, you know, sway different parts of America, you know, to feel a certain way or, you know, another way. And so they're able to use the media in many different ways. Like currently right now, they're using the media scripts, you know, in America to, you know, start a racial war.
Yes.
And I believe that. And, you know, most of them are the reason why Americans don't understand the basis of the truth is simply because, you know, they're watching these events on TV through these media outlets that all have the same agenda, which is, you know, to be, is to control the mind.
Yes.
And so, you know, people are programmed to say, well, I know it's true. I heard it on the news.
Right, yes.
And so those are the types of things that people are really being, you know, controlled with their minds.
Yeah. I direct our listeners' attention. They can go out and search this on YouTube, but there is a I think it's presented more as a parody, but there is some very sobering truth. It's a video that shows about 10 or 15 minutes worth of about 20 to 25 different news stations across America. And on a particular day, it shows all of them following a very specific script right down to the very word-for-word transcript. And it was very sobering when I first saw it, and I thought, well, this is all any clear-thinking person would need to understand that the news is scripted. But we can give some examples to our listeners of how the media fashions the story. For example, descriptions of events do not match eyewitness accounts, and or certain buzzwords are used to describe something. And the reason that they do that is they want to have a preemptive strike upon the mind of the listeners so that they can establish a visual and have them thinking a particular way. Could you give our listeners any examples that come to mind, Stephanie, how the news media does this intentionally, creating emotional images that are designed to elicit certain responses?
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of a dozen right off the top of my head, and I guess we'll start with the one that I know the best, and that would be the shooting that happened in 2011 in Tucson, Arizona, where a so-called schizophrenic madman went to a Congresswoman on Your Corner event and shot it up out of anger and killed six people and injured 13 more. And that's a prime example of how that was one of the very first striking events that I was able to pick up on about how the media controls the mind. And, you know, the whole time I investigated that personally, I literally was, you know, keeping track of the mind control apparatus that was going on, you know, as far as capturing the mind, keeping people to the TV, also given hidden messages, you know, that, you know, like, for instance, gun control was brought into it.
Yes.
You know, making people feel like that guns are bad, you know, people are dangerous. Yeah. And so those are a lot of the keywords that, you know, they use. They use words that, you know, really just it sparks the emotion in the person.
Yeah.
Another event would be the Sandy Hook shooting, where I believe that they used that particular event as a way to test the new media scripts to see, because of the fact that they've brought the media and psychology together.
Yeah.
And so behind the scenes, there's psychology that's working to examine feelings, emotions, you know, responses and such. And then, you know, so they tie it all together. They try to examine feelings associated with news stories. And, you know, clearly a lot of them are, you know, using, you know, words and such that do inflict emotion. And of course, if they get that emotional response, then they can usually continue to keep that person glued to their story.
Yes, yes. I'd like to circle back, Stephanie, in a few minutes to the Tucson shooting, because you did some extensive research. I've read that. It's very good, very, very meticulous, and clearly something more than what was being reported went on there. So I'd like to come back to that. But before we get there, there's a common thread that the media keeps pushing, and they push it whether it's race riots, whether it's mass shootings, whether it's single solitary incidents that involves guns. And this narrative is gun confiscation. And I say confiscation intentionally. The media is talking about gun control, but what they're really, the agenda they're really pushing, and I think this administration, the Barack Hussein Obama administration, is really pushing confiscation. I think that's their goal. That's their end game. It isn't gun control at all. I think they want to remove guns completely from America's citizens. Am I off base on that, Stephanie, or do you hold the same view?
No, absolutely. You are 100% correct that there's a deeper agenda. Gun control has been pushed upon the people as a way to connect a victim to a safe, you know, a safe person with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so the agenda behind the gun control, especially by using, you know, these shootings as a way to, you know, capture an audience that, you know, is trying to find out, you know, what happened in the shootings and if it was a shooting. And gun control seems to be coming up over and over again. And one of the ways that they're doing it, where they can actually capture Americans believing that gun control is good, is by constantly using words like safe and secure and words that people feel like, you know, like they know that they're responsible safe, you know, gun owners, but you know, they want to, you know, also divide your mind into believing that there's a lot of people that are just crazy and they own guns. And so they bring the gun control forward during, especially during these events, whether it's, you know, the Sandy Hook shooting or the Tucson shooting or the Aurora shooting or the Boston bombing or anything like that. And they always, you know, bring the victim forward. And you know, the Obama administration has completely failed to America. And, you know, the reason why when it comes to gun control is we've seen an administration that is preaching responsible gun control, but yet wants to put more rules, regulations, codes, and laws on the books. They take advantage of these so-called shootings. And, you know, they use those particular events as a way to bring in, you know, some type of law that would accomplish less people being able to own a gun.
Yes.
It's not about safety. It's not about security. It's about providing a list and getting people on a list and going through the government, asking permission to own a weapon when, in fact, you know, the people that are awake know what our rights are.
That's right.
We have a right to bear arms. And so, anyway, that's how I feel that these events have been, you know, really pushing. And the Obama administration as well. I mean, here's an administration that has done nothing but taught fear into the American people.
Yes.
I mean, I can remember when he was first elected, you know, we had, you know, this, the drama of, you know, several different issues, you know, as far as gun control goes. And you know, we also hear from the same administration that, you know, ISIS has infiltrated America and is, you know, going to, you know, murder Americans. But yet, we are the ones that our weapons are being taken away from.
Yes.
And so, anyway, it's all about fear. This administration is put into place, which I call the Washington Theater, and they're all a bunch of actors on stage, and they're just pushing forward the agenda that, you know, which is to disarm Americans and to change our culture to be, you know, slaves.
That's a good way to put it, The rank hypocrisy I guess maybe I'll adopt that term now, Stephanie, the Washington Theater, because it isn't just the Obama administration. He certainly is the figurehead, and I think he certainly is a true believer in disarming America's citizens. But the hypocrisy of it all, I mean, it's beyond appalling. It's jaw-dropping arrogance that the same administration that arms Mexican drug gangs and radical Islamists, demanding that America's free citizens who have a constitutional right to bear arms give up their guns. Sometimes I wonder, where's the outrage? Why aren't people marching in the streets? Why are they lying down and taking this? Is it too late for America, in your opinion, Stephanie, to stand up and really fight what I consider to be domestic aggression from our own government?
Well, I mean, I want to believe that it's not too late. I mean, I have faith in, you know, the real men of this country, the people that do see through it, the women that, you know, really are wanting to be American, you know, and So I do speak to those people, and mm-hmm. I am grateful that I get to hear stories from people that, you know, they really feel the same way, because then it makes me feel like, okay, so, you know, I feel good about what I do then, because yeah. I am standing up for
yes.
America.
Yeah.
Because I love America, mm-hmm. you know, and so I agree with you on that. But, you know, I also feel that Americans are lost in a world where, you know, like I see it every day, every single day I see it. I see a variety of people that are lost in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people that are messed up from the medical health industry.
Yes.
The medical establishment. I see mm-hmm. people that are, they're lost in a world of Hollywood.
Yes.
They're lost
yeah.
in a world of sports. They're mm-hmm. lost in a world of, you know, they're lost in a world where they've been scripted that this is supposed to be how you're supposed to live.
Yes. Yeah.
Instead of feeling like this is the way I should live. And so, anyway, I see that, and that scares me, because that is the majority of America.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I can only hope that, you know, the minority that are awake, you know, can touch other people's souls and wake them up and connect their minds to their spirits, and they can actually see the reason why, you know, we have to band together as a country, and we have to stand up to this ridiculous destruction and, I mean, just, you know, terrible, just damnation of our country.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it's really something that I really, you know, think about all the time. I guess I'm a different person, you know, like I don't think about the next game. I don't think about, you know, the
right.
next meeting or whatever. I'm constantly thinking about how I can make someone aware. And I mean, there's also other things to your question that you asked as well. Like, for instance, you know, people are physically dumbed down simply because,
yeah.
you know, our food chain is poisoned.
Yes.
And
yeah.
we have chemicals in our water. And so there are things that are actually physically making people distracted from actually living their lives.
Yes. Yeah, that is a very good point, Stephanie. Cultures are created, whether we understand that or not. And you explained that very well. My friend John Adams talks about that as well. Culture is created. You think you make choices, but actually you are presented options, but they're presented in a way that the likelihood of you choosing one over the other is already predetermined. And we're not going to go down that road in this conversation, Stephanie, but that would make an interesting...
No, I agree with you, though.
Yeah, that would make an interesting yeah. conversation. Yeah. Well, let's discuss the 2011 Tucson shooting involving Congresswoman Giffords' judge role and I'm going to say the alleged shooter, Jared Lee Loeffner. The irregularities involving that incident are astounding. And I wonder, Stephanie, if you'd take as much time as you feel comfortable taking and walk us through what you discovered in your research. I know you were there on the ground physically looking the place over.
I was.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that the reason why I decided to actually do the investigation myself was because I wanted to know if it was true that the media was lying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really was disgusted after the shooting took place. And, you know, basically there was all kinds of odd things that are un-American that happened on the news, you know, from the beginning with Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, who was the Pima County Sheriff out there. And instead of investigating the crime scene, he was on TV, you know, discussing how, you know, Arizona has become the mecca for press, you know, being a racist, mm-hmm. and also talking about how Jared Lee Loeffner, I mean, he had already predetermined that he was a crazy man and
yeah.
he was guilty of his crime. And, of mm-hmm. course, in America, that's not the way it is.
Right.
You know, we're innocent until proven guilty. And
yeah.
so I found it interesting right away that the man was already charged and, you know, hung by the media. And
mm-hmm.
he was guilty, and that was that, and nobody
yep.
should question anything. And I also found it interesting, as I switched through the channels to various news sites like ABC, NBC, Fox News,
mm-hmm.
You know, the witnesses that were there that were on each show, you know, each time they would come on, they were telling a little bit different story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, just really found it fascinating that we could have such a variety of stories on different shows. And, of course, you know, the normal person in America would have their favorite news channel, and they would watch that news channel 24 hours a day and
yep.
not switch between many of them, you know. So a lot of people never caught any of that. And so anyway, I decided to go out to Tucson and investigate the crime myself. It was a very challenging investigation. I ran into 10 days of hostility towards me, as far as actually being there and asking questions. And so, I basically came away from that 10 days, and I was able to put together all the research and evidence that I had acquired during that time. And, you know, once I put it all together, then I realized that I had, you know, something really big here. It was a major play on the American mind. And
mm-hmm.
so that's why I began to talk about it. Jared Lee Loeffler was 22 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he was said to have been a troubled teenager, and he was said to be a troubled young man that went to the Safeway store that day while Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was holding a constituents meeting. And he went there, he was angry, and he decided to bring his Glock 19 and I believe two extended magazines to the scene that day. And, you know, he shot just randomly into the crowd and killed 6 people, injured 13, including Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who was a Democrat from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he was said to have killed a judge whose name was Judge John Roll. And so, you know, during the course of, you know, the media putting out the story, it was like Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords became the star
mm-hmm.
of the event.
Yeah.
And Judge John Roll was swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And so I became interested in who this judge is.
Yeah.
And so I investigated him and found out that he was actually the 1994 judge that overturned the Brady Bill.
Oh.
And if your listeners don't know who the Brady Bill is, it was one of the big gun control acts that they tried to push through to ban, you know,
yes.
all the assault rifles.
Yes.
And so I immediately was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know, and so I continued to investigate that. And like I said, I was met with a lot of hostilities during my investigation. And
simply for asking questions.
You know, absolutely. When mm-hmm. you ask questions, you are, you know, a troublemaker.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was what I was labeled.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a lot of heat from that. I still take a lot of heat from that, you know, mm-hmm. because I do believe that I did find out the truth about the investigation. And
mm-hmm.
Your listeners are encouraged to actually go to my website. It's called thegovernmentrag.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they can click on the investigations page and read about the investigation. And they can also order a copy of my book that I wrote. It's called Apple Zebra 11, The Loeffler Cover-Up. And it talks about everything that, you know, I was able to find as far as what I believe is pretty solid evidence that the event was actually a false flag.
Mm.
And what I mean by that, which, you know, a lot of people, when I say false flag, a lot of people want to instantly think that it was a hoax or it didn't happen, but it actually did happen.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, the 22-year-old that was actually the shooter was used as a patsy,
mm-hmm.
you know, set up from as an early teenager going through the juvenile justice system to prep him for, you know, the actual shooting. So
yeah.
there's a little bit different take on the Lofner event mm-hmm. as compared to like the Sandy Hook shooting, which a lot of people believe didn't happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, a judge was killed. Also during that event, one of the things that was brought into the media was 9/11.
Mm.
And 9/11 was brought up 10,000 times probably during the reporting of the shooting. And I would say probably over a good 2 months is when, you know, this shooting, they were reporting on this shooting, and it instantly went to a battle between gun control and no gun control. And they kept bringing 9/11 into it because there was a little girl that was allegedly shot that day who was 9 years old.
Yeah.
And she was said to have been born on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Obama, the Obama administration, and of course the media aired all of it.
Sure.
He
yeah.
had brought the 9/11 flag of remembrance from New York to Tucson. They hung it on the corner of where the shooting was at.
Wow. Pulled out
and
all the stops.
They had a, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a memorial there at the University of Arizona. I believe it was called the McHale Auditorium, but anyway, it was at the University of Arizona, and they, you know, the whole memorial was recorded by media, and, you know, it was all about the victim. And so 9/11 was played really hard. The judge, you know, that overturned the Brady Bill was covered up, and to this day, even, you know, Gabrielle Giffords, you know, she survived her shooting, and she is a very big advocate, one of the biggest advocates in the organizations for responsible gun control. And so really behind the scenes, there's many people that are using these types of events, you know, to change our gun laws in the name of safety and by using a victim. And just on the last shooting as well that we saw, I believe Obama has stated, you know, that we are responsible for the victims. And my question is, are we? I mean, yeah. are we so responsible for a victim of a shooting that we go change our gun laws?
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I've looked very deeply into the gun part of this. As far as the shooting goes, Jerry Lofner was arrested at the crime scene. He was taken away to the county prison, and then from there he was whisked away to a federal psychological prison to be forcibly medicated, and that's in Springfield, Missouri. And so I followed the agenda behind his court cases. I was able to obtain documents of every single court case that he had, and trying to determine if he was a real person, trying to determine, you know, who he was, what was his background, you know, what did he do, was he really crazy, you know, is this, what is the media lying about as far as, you know, who the actual shooter was. And so I did follow his case, and in 2012, he pled guilty. He was going to plead insanity, but he, at the last minute, he pled guilty, and he was whisked away to the, you know, the mental health prison over in Springfield, Missouri. And he, the more I read into his cases, I realized that he was being forcibly medicated.
Yeah.
And they had used this entire event as a way to change the court system, and that was to legalize forcibly medicating prisoners in America, and so and to bring in a law that's called Washington versus Harper. And that law actually gives permission for anybody to be tortured by using, you know, medications.
Wow.
So that was very hard for me to, you know, accept because...
What was the name of that law again, Stephanie?
It's called Washington versus Harper.
Harper, okay.
And so I've noticed that with a lot of these events, that like a lot of these shootings and stuff, that there's some kind of way that the law is being changed behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular one was allowing for torture.
Yeah.
Because forcibly medicating someone is torture.
Yes.
And, you know, his lawyer was very questionable. She was also a lawyer, the lawyer of the Boston bomber, and other various people that we've seen in the past that a lot of people question whether those events are real. I believe the Unabomber is one of them,
mm-hmm.
and Susan Smith. And so she was the lawyer that was taking his case, but yet she never put forth any evidence. I mean, anybody that did a real investigation could have questioned any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. No evidence. I think I read someplace where there's actually never been any video footage released of the Tucson shooting. Nothing from the court proceedings. And yet we're to believe the narrative as it's been described, that this is how it went down, and just trust us. That's pretty much what it adds up to, isn't it?
Exactly, and that shows you how vulnerable Americans are. They will watch someone, they will trust what they're saying, and then they will trust that our government is going to do the right thing while everybody's off sleeping. And so that's exactly what is happening. And so we're being gutted from the inside out in our court system. The laws are being changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, our rights are being diminished. We are not having any chance of any say of anything because, you know, people are literally lost in all
yeah.
of this.
Yeah.
They don't know who to trust. You know, they just go along to get along. And mm-hmm. if the media says it's going on, you know, 90% of America believes it. And so,
yeah.
anyway, we have to question that in all media, not just mainstream media. We have to question it in all of everything. And so I, you know, definitely agree with what you're saying. And it's just, it should be a rude awakening to Americans that we are at the point now where, I mean, you know, we're just about ready to be toppled from the inside
mm-hmm.
out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's key, from the inside out. This is a widespread effort. It includes or involves the highest levels of our government. The FBI was certainly involved in the Loeffner case, the Tucson shooting. They played a very integral part in deflecting and detouring the Justice Department and even the White House. They're all complicit in crafting and presenting this narrative of what went down there. There are so many inconsistencies. We won't go into any more of those this time. Maybe we'll chat again, Stephanie, and we'll go into a little more detail on the Tucson shooting, because it's just remarkable the inconsistencies that are out there. You discovered them. You have talked about them numerous times, and yet no one in the media seems interested in talking about any of those things. I'd like to move now, Stephanie, and talk about the visible transformation in the police as an institution across America. We're seeing law enforcement right before our eyes become militarized. Local police departments across America are being outfitted with armored personnel carriers, with Humvees, with assault and SWAT team weapons. This is local police. And part of it, and part of the reason that I believe it's going virtually unchallenged, is because our government, those that are involved in this, they've created, as you referred to earlier, they've created such a climate of fear among our citizens that they're willing to allow our local police departments to become really branches of our military in order that they might feel safe. Does this fit into the overall strategy of the elitists and what they're trying to do, Stephanie?
Definitely. And, you know, our police departments started popping up everywhere after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Janet Napolitano at the time was I believe she was in charge of the Department of Homeland Security, which was created after 9/11. And so these police departments have popped up, and they have essentially replaced our constitutional sheriff.
Yes.
And in America, we are to have a sheriff that works for us.
Yep.
And they are to patrol the government. And what has happened is because of the fear, you know, of most especially 9/11, where I believe that, you know, that's when the real, I call them the standing army,
yes,
you know, was placed in every local community.
Yeah.
And essentially they are taking over, you know, our sheriff's department. And, you know, they're put there. They accept payment from the federal government. And they do not work for the people.
Yes,
they work
right.
for the government.
Right.
And so, anyway, a lot of people are becoming accepting of the fact that, you know, the police are there to protect everybody. And they do. They have militarized them. They're constantly training on, you know, active shooters. And
mm-hmm.
they're training on
yeah.
What would happen if this and, you know, what would happen if that. And so, yes, they are in our communities, and in my opinion, you know, they are very destructive to communities because of the fact that they're treating the American citizen as if, you know, they are the military and, you know, they're in charge of, you know, the territory. And so I believe that we are really no different than Afghanistan as far as the militarization goes. You know, everywhere you go, there's a militarized police officer that is either they're entrapping the citizen or they're surveilling the citizen or they're, you know, participating in events which require silenced knowledge of, you know, particular, you know, shootings or and such. So, yes. The militarization of the police has become outrageous in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And more people are afraid. They don't, you know, from my everyday life, I talk to people all the time, and a lot of people, they don't like the police because they feel like there's a hostility that they're always being stalked by the police officer. You know, like they'll drive around a bend somewhere and there will be a police officer outside of their car holding something, you know, trying to decide if they're speeding or, you know, there's all these billboards that are coming forward in the United States that tells you what to do, like, wear your seatbelt. We're going to stalk you for your cell phone tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, you know, and so, you know, I believe that our country is completely in disarray with what has been indoctrinated as what we should believe as superheroes. Like, they're the ones you call 911. And, you know, don't do anything. Call the police or call the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, people have really lost sight on what it means to actually take care of themselves and to defend themselves and their families.
Yes.
And so that's part of the media process, too. All the marketing strategies of the New World Order in America is to, you know, trick the mind into believing that, you know, nobody can make things better unless you call the police.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I don't remember where I read it or heard it. And if you're familiar with this, Stephanie, please speak to it. But I recall reading or hearing something about the idea that videotaping at large gatherings was going to be considered against the law. And they were going to stop people from doing that, and I've seen several examples recently where police officers performing their duties, and other citizens will be filming or videotaping what's going on their phones, those citizens who are doing nothing illegal are challenged and threatened to put their phones away, stop recording, or they're going to be arrested. It seems to me that this is the direction that it's our liberties and our freedoms in America. We're watching them being taken away right before our eyes, and the outrage and the uproar and the pushback is not consistent with what it should be, in my opinion. Are you familiar with that conversation about videotaping at large gatherings?
Yeah, I am. And I do a lot of posting of articles of similar situations. And but yeah, I do realize that, you know, a lot of people are, you know, if there's some stink about it where the police say that you can't videotape, you know, or that they see something on a YouTube video where somebody's been beaten because they were videotaped, mm-hmm. it causes suppression, which is what they want.
Yes.
They want people to be afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they want people to question their rights.
Yeah.
I mean, I talk to people every day and they say, well, I know it's my right, but I mean, what do? When you're in that situation? I mean, people yeah. are really being forced now to say, hey, if I do speak up, I might be shot by the police.
Wow.
Instead of fighting back in, you know, the manner of just, you know, putting the heat on the sheriff and saying, look, you're going to work for us or you're out and we're going to start mm-hmm. something new.
Yeah.
You know, we have a totally corrupt system where what is happening is people are literally forgetting who they are as citizens. And so they go along to get along because they're afraid
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to question. You know, like I personally heard, this is a personal story, I personally heard the other day from a 25-year-old student told me that, you know, he just wants to stand up to his history teacher and say, everything you're teaching me is a lie. But he said, yeah. I just can't say it because I know that I'll be targeted. You know,
yeah.
and I had to laugh, and I was like, that's exactly what's wrong with this country. Everybody's afraid because we've been targeted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why have we been targeted? It's because we are a country that doesn't put up with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to say something, but we're afraid because mm-hmm. we've seen all the videos, we've seen all the violence, we've seen everything about the fact that, you know, if you speak up, you're going to be targeted, thrown mm-hmm. in prison, you're going to be shot, you're going to be,
yeah.
you know, just, and so that's why people are afraid to be citizens. They don't know what it's like to be a citizen.
Yeah.
They think we have rights now, especially the younger generation. Like my generation and older, we were taught what our rights are. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we, you know,
yeah.
learned it in school.
Yes.
That was one of the most essential things. But these, then, you know, the last few generations, there's been a complete infiltration into the educational
yes.
system.
Yeah.
And those educational systems are teaching more of like a obey the system type. You know,
yes.
Else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So.
And that's a sad development for sure. It's basically, hey, the government is always right. Just trust us. And the appalling thing about that for me, well, there are several things, but one of the appalling things about that is that most Americans have this idea, this belief that what they see happening in third world nations, in the so-called banana republics, what they see happening there, that could never happen in America. That could never happen here. And all the while, we're being moved step by step towards that exact situation. So we've talked about a lot of things here. They've focused on our liberty and our freedoms being eroded, and part of that is the deception of the media. But we can't point fingers at the media and say, well, it's all your fault. We're responsible for ourselves. We need to be awake. We need to do our homework. We need to do our research. We need to be widely read. We need to listen to people like you and others that are reporting the truth. What would you tell our listeners, Stephanie, that would help them to become more aware of what's happening in America today, especially as it's related to our liberties and our freedoms. What can they do to get in the game, to step up to the plate, and use all these metaphors, but what can they do to protect themselves?
Well, I always have the basic answer to that, and what I believe in my heart is that, you know, people need to go and they need to educate themselves on what it means to be an American citizen.
Yeah.
And what that means is we'll tell you the difference between the citizens that we have signed up to be and the citizens that we should be.
Yes.
And, you know, those types, you know, like the population of America, the citizens of America need to understand what it is that they are before they can understand what their rights are.
Yes.
And so my answer is that you have to wake up to yourself. Like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And where do you want to be? And do you like living in this, you know, is this what we were supposed to be? Is this what we were taught by our ancestors, by our, you know, grandparents, by our great-grandparents,
mm-hmm.
our family? You know, I mean, it's just, we know in our heart as Americans, I think every American that really, you know, believes and loves American history and the reason why we fled from tyranny before
mm-hmm.
was because of the fact that, you know, we're free-spirited, very highly inclined people that want to live a life of truth and freedom.
Yes.
And so, anyway, that acquires a lot of, you know, in order to keep that state in America, you know, that acquires a unity.
Yes.
And that unity has to be strong, and it has to remember, you know, why it is that America is, you know, a place where people fled to.
Yes.
And so, anyway, I think that Americans can, you know, get back on track by really searching their own soul on what type of person they are, and to take a challenge of questioning, you know, what it is that goes on in their lives around them, what they're being told,
yeah.
how they're working, you know, what's happening. Are they just, you know, in a cycle where they just get up every morning, they go to work, they come home, they do the same things over and over again, they watch TV, they go to bed, you know, and they think they're being good people, but in reality, they're being good people, but they're not being, you know, they're not being aware of what needs to be guarded at all
yeah.
times, and
yeah.
that's our liberties.
Yes.
And
yes.
so I think if people went back to understanding what it means to be a citizen of mm-hmm. America, I think that more people would understand what it means to break free from this type of tyranny and the power
yes.
that we have as we the people.
Yes.
I mean, we have a great deal of power, except for the fact that we can't unite. And the reason why we can't unite is because we have all these, you know, different apparatuses going on in the background, in education,
mm-hmm.
indoctrination,
yes.
and media indoctrination, and, you know, we have marketing indoctrination and
mm-hmm.
Hollywood indoctrination, and we have all these things operating around our minds that are purposely put out there for us to forget.
Yes.
And so that would be the answer to my question, is
yeah.
that we need to go back to examining who we are as a real citizen,
mm-hmm.
and what that means and what our responsibilities are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good advice. Perhaps next time we chat, Stephanie, we can explore the idea of cultural Marxism and how that's been implemented in America to do exactly what you
yeah,
described,
absolutely.
Which is to divide and conquer. There's a reason why those that are in control of the government right now continue to attack the Constitution. They continue to attack it. They continue to ignore it. They continue to operate outside the law. Friends, you need to hear this loud and clear. When a government operates outside of the law, it has become a tyranny. It has become a form of dictatorship, and it is not freedom and liberty that's being extolled and pursued, but slavery instead. That's what's happening in America. Stephanie, are there any projects that you're working on currently, any research that's occupying your time that you could share with our listeners today?
Well, I am working on a new, a new investigation into the global elite and who they actually really are and what their plan is. And that's been a interesting subject that I'm sharing with another researcher who I, you know, find fascinating because, you know, I would like to know who it is that's in control and why they're in control and what the history is behind that.
Yes.
I'm also continuing to investigate the Loftner case because it's not over.
That's right,
You know, there has to be more questions answered, and those are the types of things, really, that I'm basically working on at this point in time. But I'm, you know, I'm always working on something, but those are the two major projects that I really do have in my court right now.
Yes. The website is The Government Rag. Where else can people connect with you, Stephanie?
Well, they can find me on Facebook. On Facebook. I'm also on Twitter as well. I have an Instagram site. I also have the Government Rag WordPress blog, which I post a lot of different articles that me and my contributing writers write about. And also, I do post a lot about the military, the police state military stuff. And so, anyway, I encourage people to go to thegovernmentrag.com, and they can also read my bio. They can read other articles from contributing writers, and they can also see the news every day, like the updated news. So, we try to post stories that are real. We really are hard on, you know, trying to post stories that are truthful. And so, you know, I really spend a lot of time reading and trying to sort through, you know, what it is that people can find that can spark an interest in, you know, getting back to living, you know, the way we should live and understanding the way that we're being taken over by, I mean, when I say we're being taken over, I mean, like, there is a domestic war coming.
Yes.
And that domestic war is going to be, you know, the last chance for our liberties. And we're being infiltrated in every area. And so, you know, it's very frightening to me. And so I hope that, you know, your listeners can spread the word that, you know, it's time to really evaluate, you know, the fact that America is not just, you know, place that it used to be. It's in trouble. It's deeply in trouble. And so we need to, you know, organize in communities and start talking about what those troubles are and, you know, put up a good fight.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, Stephanie, I appreciate the conversation. We touched on a lot of topics, and I'm looking forward to our next chat. I think it'll be equally equipping and revealing for our listeners. So thank you for joining me today on Soaring Eagle Radio.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and thank you for having me on.
It's been a real treat. I appreciate you being on. Thank you. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thank Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.